Turning the Word of God this morning to Revelation, again to the book of the Revelation, chapter 1 and to verse 4. While you're looking that up, can I welcome you all this morning to the Bible class and our webcast viewers. We welcome you that join in this morning. And we trust that as we meet together this morning around the Word, that the Lord will bless us all richly in His presence. Revelation chapter 1, begin to read together at verse number 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Now go over with me to chapter 2, and verse number 18. Chapter 2, verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. We know God will bless the public reading of his word to all of our hearts for his name's sake. Let's unite our hearts in prayer for another moment before we come now to the word this morning. Let's all unite our hearts in prayer. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we do thank thee again for this opportunity to approach thee upon the ground of redemption in the Saviour's blood. And we bless thee for that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which cleanses from all sin. We thank thee Peter could say it was precious blood. Thank thee John could say of the blood by which we overcome. And Father, upon its merit we approach thee now. We plead all its value and virtue. We thank thee for the way to God by the blood of Jesus. And just at this very juncture we do pray for the Sunday school, as the children will soon gather around the teacher's knee. We pray, O God, that you'll bless the little hearts. You'll bless the words to their hearts that will hear this morning. Pray, O God, that children will be saved in our Sunday school this morning. Lord, we just pray now for this Bible class. Shut us in with thee. O God, close us in with thee for a season. We have no desire whatsoever to go through the motions of this Bible class. But we cry, O Lord, that you'll come and put your hand upon us. And I confess before thee my inadequacy to deal with what is before me right now. And I pray, O God, that you'll empty me of everything that will hinder of sin and self. You'll wash me completely in the Redeemer's blood. and fill me with the Holy Ghost and with power, and answer prayer in this meeting. Glorify thy Son. Give help now in the study of the church in Thyatira, and teach us what we need to know. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thyatira was a city in Asia Minor. Asia Minor is now Turkey. It's no longer called Thyatira. It's now called Akhisar. If you look in Atlas, I checked one there on Friday, you see Akhisar, which used to be Thyatira. It's in western Turkey. The last record that I could find of anybody that went to it was a missionary went to it in 1848 to see what remained of the Christian church in Thyatira. He remarked that in Thyatira, that region, they grew like, it was famous for growing root plants with a red dye. I thought that was very striking, considering when you read in Acts chapter 16 of Lydia, it says, Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Some feel that she dyed her cloth from the very dye that was growing in that place of Thyatira. But the missionary said this of Thyatira in 1848, Christianity appears there in name only. The churches now are given over to idolatry, full of pictures and images, all in low positions, that the worshippers may come and kiss them. Pictures they claim when they are asked, what is all this about? They claim quite openly, these are pictures of God. It's completely given over to idolatry. Mass is said in certain of the churches for the dead. That was 1848 in Thyatira. Of course, in that part of Turkey, Islam also has a tremendous influence. But that's the latest setting I could see of Thyatira. 1848, any churches that are there, they're given completely over to Romanism and to idolatry. And Islam has a tremendous sway. How was the church formed in Thyatira? Well, in Acts 16, as I've already remarked, concerning that woman Lydia, she was the first convert in Europe. She got saved in Philippi, but it stated there quite clearly that she was from the city of Thyatira. Now, it's not known if Lydia took the gospel back to Thyatira or who actually took it. But what we see here in Revelation is this. There is a church there. There's a church here in Revelation, and Christ is about to address it. Because as we're about to see in this church in Thyatira, some people were fine, but Thyatira as a church had its problems. Big problems. And that's what I want to look at here this morning. The church in Thyatira about to be addressed by Christ. I want you to note the title that Christ takes to himself as he addresses the church. Look with me at verse number 18 of Revelation chapter 2. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God. Here's our Savior, the eternal Son, the only begotten of the Father, the mighty God. Here's the description he takes to himself as he comes to address this church. As I told you before, the descriptions that Christ takes when he's addressing each of the seven churches as applicable to the situation found in the church at that time that he addresses. He said, these things saith the Son of God. But look what else he says in verse 18. Who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire. That description, eyes like unto a flame of fire, it signifies Christ's omniscience. His piercing, penetrating, perfect knowledge, thorough insight into what exactly is going on here in the city of Thyatira, in the church here. It was Robert Murray McShane who said, people like to think of Christ's eyes weeping. They don't like to think of Christ's eyes seeing all things, seeing the motives of the heart, seeing the intents, one who will come and deal with what he sees. That's what the words mean, eyes like unto a flame of fire, signifying Christ's complete understanding of what exactly was going on in the church in Thyatira. What else does he take to himself as a title? And his feet are like fine brass, verse 18, and his feet are like fine brass. That's just speaking of the outworkings of his providence. They're steady, they're pure, they're holy. The judge of all the earth will do right. What he's really saying is, what's going on in Thyatira? The report that I'm about to bring is exactly the way Thyatira is. Yes, it's the same one who addressed Ephesus, Smyrna, and Pergamos. And when Christ brings a report on a church, things are just the way they are. Things are just the way Christ said they are. This morning as we look at Thyatira, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes look unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Thyatira. The church certainly seemed to have its problems. It would seem to be by the report which Christ brought of it that there were a majority in it who desired to go on with God. And there were certainly a few in it at this moment who are not about to receive a commendation from the Lord. There were great problems in the church in Thyatira. But just to break it up, we're going to firstly look at those for whom there was a general commendation, for whom the Lord gave a commendation. Verse number 19, he says to them, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. They were laboring well for the Lord, some of them. They were working for God. And let that encourage you this morning as you go on with the Lord. The Lord knows your works. They weren't like Ephesus in that way. They hadn't left their first love. This church had members who were increasing daily. The Lord said at the end of verse 19, and the last to be more than the first. They had grown in grace. Their latter days were better than their first days. And what a glorious thing it is when Christ says that of a church or of a believer, that you're growing, your latter days are better than your first. Here's the Lord, he brings this word to these people, and the last to be more than the first. They were going on well with God. But they were also a loving people. He says, I know thy works and charity. They were diligent in serving the Lord. They had a love for the brethren. They had a love for one another. Then he said also in verse 19, he knew their service. They were rich in faith. They were living for God. They were wanting to go on with God. That's the setting. That's what some of these people were. Then he says, and I knew their faith, strong in faith, giving glory to God. The word faith also there, it gives a sense of faithfulness, steadfastness. The Lord would seem to be saying to them that there were in this church those that were steadfast, they were strong, they were faithful to the Lord. And dear believer, when we think of that, what better words could the Lord leave us this morning? Be steadfast. Be faithful. As Paul said to the church in Corinth, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For ye know that your labors are not in vain in the Lord. But he also said something else to them in verse 19. He deals with their works and their charity and their service and their faith. And he says, and thy patience. Patience, as you know, is exercised by tribulation. The Lord says they were patient. Oh, notice it. Patient. Their works were more than their last. But we're going to see, or more than their first, we're going to see in a little moment or two that they need to be patient. Because what problems there were. As I said at the beginning, it would seem the vast majority in Thyatira wanted to go on with God. But in verse 24, the Lord refers to something. Look down at verse 24 with me. And unto you I say, these are still these people who want to go on with God, he's addressing. And unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak. The Lord says there's a certain behavior in the church in Thyatira, and he describes it as the depths of Satan. There was something going on here, and the Lord begins to put his finger on it. Remember who's speaking. The one that's speaking, his eyes are like unto a flame of fire. And the Lord tells those who are in the midst of this, who are seeking to go on, in verse 25, he says to them, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. There's a big division here. In this church, there's definitely something coming in. We're going to look at that, what exactly it is. But there are these people in the church, just to set it up, who want to go on with God, who want to live for the Lord, and the Lord brings them a commendation. And they have no part in this sin in this church that is described by the Lord Jesus as the depths of Satan. Now we want to address that. Now we want to see what this is all about. And again, I always say this when I'm dealing with these churches, we're not saying that this church here in Thyatira is a picture of any church here. We're saying that as we look at these churches, we want to see what the Lord commands. And we want to be like that. We want to see what the Lord commands, and we want to strive to be like that. We want to see what he most certainly does not command and is against, and we want to avoid it at all costs. That's the lesson of the churches of Ephesus. We asked ourselves, where do we fit in? Well, we want to fit in what the Lord commands in a church. And we want to, like Ephesus, we want to avoid leaving our first love. We want to avoid the worldliness of Pergamos. And we're going to see what we need to avoid in Thyatira. And there are all these little thoughts to come out here. But let's look at verse number 20. Because here the Lord begins to deal with the other side of this church. Verse number 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. The Lord had given place to repent here in this church, and it didn't happen. The problem was that sin was not repented of. It was leading others astray, and of course there's a lesson there. None of us live unto ourselves. Our behavior will always affect others. But how did the Lord have it against the church? How did he have it against the church in Thyatira? What was going on? Well, the thought is this. The church had powers given to it by Christ to stop what was going on. And they weren't exercising that authority. They could censure them. They could excommunicate them. And failure to do so brings this rebuke from Christ. The Lord had given space for repentance in Thyatira. It didn't come. You see, the Lord's telling us here that he who has eyes look onto a flame of fire, he doesn't miss anything. And he begins to put his finger on what's going on in Thyatira. There's sin here, and it's not repented of. And of course, how do we apply that? Well, sin not personally, sin not dealt with in our personal lives, it'll bring the Lord to deal with it. It'll bring chastening. The Lord begins to put his finger on it. The Lord begins to put his finger in the sin. Though many in the church maybe didn't know what it was, what was going on, yet the Lord knew what it was. The Lord knew what it was. Turn with me to Genesis 32, a classic example. Genesis 32, of sin not being dealt with until the Lord comes and puts his finger on it. You all know the story so well. Genesis 32, but it's the classic case of Christ and his all-seeing eyes, his omniscience. He sees the whole situation. Genesis 32, verse 26. And as you know, the setting, Jacob's wrestling with the Lord. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" Now, why did the Lord ask him what was his name? The Lord's beginning to put his finger in something in Jacob's life, as you know the story. The Lord's beginning to put his finger in something in Jacob's life that needed sorted out. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 27. You know the story there. Esau, he goes to get his father savory meat. Jacob schemes. He wants the blessing. And look at chapter 27, verse 1. "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son, and he said unto him, Behold, here I am." You know the story. He sends him to get him savory meat. Jacob schemes. Now look with me at verse number 20, or verse 19. "And Jacob said unto his father," Jacob brings this meat to his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, and thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." It sounds very spiritual, but it's lies. It's all lies. Then go on down with me to verse 24. "And he said, Art thou my very son, Esau?" And he said, "I am. I am thy firstborn. The Lord thy God brought it to me. Art thou Esau?" And he said, "I am." And Isaac can do nothing but take his word for it. Isaac wants the, or Jacob wants the blessing of his father. And he schemes. His father's blind, an old man. Jacob deceives him. But in Genesis 32, Jacob's not before an old man. He's before the all-seeing eye of Christ. And the Lord puts his finger on it immediately. He says, "Jacob, what's your name? What's your name? You're not Esau." And the Bible tells us in Hosea, Jacob wept. The Lord put his finger in the sin. The Lord put his finger in the sin. The all-seeing eye of Christ. Go with me to Genesis chapter 18. We see it again. Sins that are hidden. Genesis chapter 18. Another pre-incarnation appearance of the Savior. The Lord comes to Abraham to tell him that Sarah is going to have a child. Look at verse number 10, Genesis 18. "And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him." Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. She laughed within herself. Look at verse 13. "And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I have a Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. The Lord puts his hand on it again. The Lord puts his hand in sin that wasn't known, but the Lord knew about it. And that's exactly what's going on in the church in Thyatira. Going back there. The Lord's beginning to put his hand on what is the problem here in this church. What was the sin of Thyatira? That brings us to that question. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which callest herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. The church authority had suffered one to bring in heresies and to introduce idolatry to the church. Thyatira had failed to do what Ephesus had done. Ephesus in verse 2 of chapter 2, the Lord tells them, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Ephesus had dealt with it. Thyatira had failed to deal with it. The church hadn't done what Ephesus did. The evil was being tolerated. But the Lord goes on to explain what the evil is. The Lord begins now to highlight the sin with that little phrase, that woman Jezebel. That woman Jezebel. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. Now, I don't know if there's a woman in that church in Thyatira called Jezebel. That's not what the Lord's saying. He's not saying there's a woman in the church in Thyatira called Jezebel. He's saying that the sin that Jezebel was famous for is now creeping into the church in Thyatira. It's the same as we saw the last time I preached here in Pergamos, where the Lord charges them with having the sin of Balaam. There wasn't a Balaam in the church in Pergamos. It was the sin of Balaam. And now the Lord's putting his finger on it, and he's telling them the sin that Jezebel was famous for, there's somebody in the church in Thyatira, and they're seeking to bring it in. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 16 to see what exactly the sin was. 1 Kings chapter 16. 1 Kings 16. You know who Jezebel was? She was the one that sought to kill Elijah. She killed Naboth for his vineyard. She had him killed. But look with me at 1 Kings 16, verse number 30. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of the Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. There's the problem. Someone in the church in Thyatira was bringing in idolatry. That was the problem. And the Lord begins to put his finger on it. He says, that woman, Jezebel. Now you think of the setting there in the Old Testament. Jezebel was that woman who had married Ahab. That marriage had brought her into Israel from that idolatrous nation and royal house of Tyre. And with her, she brought her idols. And she brings them into Israel, into the holy worship of Jehovah. And the Lord's saying right here to Thyatira, that woman Jezebel, someone in Thyatira was bringing in the idols. Bringing in the idols, as I said in my opening remarks, when that man went in 1848, that's all there was. Idolatry. A place given over to idol worship. Look with me at verse 21. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, when the Lord speaks there of committing adultery, he's speaking of spiritual unfaithfulness. He's speaking of those that went down this road with this teaching of idolatry. That's what's in view. The Lord puts his finger on it. It's idolatry. Somebody in the church in Thyatira was bringing in their idols. And just as a wee side remark, that's why, as a church, we don't go down the road of stained glass windows with pictures of Christ on it. It's idolatry. It's wrong. It's a violation of the second commandment. That's just a little side remark. This is what was being brought in. Literally, idols were being brought in. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And of course, we've got to be so careful in these days. You can hardly buy a book now for children in a Bible bookshop without them being full of this idolatry. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or that's in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. The Lord says you're not to make these things. Some people say today, well, we don't worship them. We only make them. The Lord says we're not to make them. And then he says, nor bow down to them. Nor bow down to them. That's a violation of the second commandment. And the Lord puts his finger on it here in Thyatira. The Lord's saying, someone in Thyatira was introducing the worship of idols. And see, I want you to see how Christ compares it, what he compares idolatry to. Verse 24. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine and have not known the depths of Satan. There's what Christ thinks of idolatry. He describes it as the depths of Satan. The depths of Satan. That's how he describes it. But I want you to see the results of it. The results of idolatry. Verse 23. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now, I want you to understand that verse number 23. When it says, and I will kill her children with death, as I've already said, there's not a woman in the church called Jezebel. So the Lord's not speaking of taking somebody and killing her children. That's not what the Lord's saying. But what he's saying is, those disciples of this teaching, and the death in view is the second death. The Lord says, and I will kill her children with death. Her disciples, those that go down this way of idolatry, there's no hope for them. That's what the Lord's saying there. The phrase kill her children is not to be understood as children being killed. That's not what's to be understood there. It's to see that at the end of the day they're going to be given over to the second death. Because in the matter of salvation, to follow any teaching but that of Christ is to kill the soul. It's to lose the soul. And the Lord's warning them to get it stopped and Thyatira before it gets the ascendancy. Turn with me to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Those who go down that road of idolatry, the Lord says they'll have their part in the second death. Isaiah 45, it's the depths of Satan. Isaiah 45, verse 20. Here's the Lord addressing that situation again. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who have declared this from ancient time, who have told it from that time, hath not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There's none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. What's the Lord saying to these people? He's saying you're looking in the wrong place. Your idols can't save you. Your idols can't save. And the Lord's telling them that you're looking in the wrong place. Now let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. The Lord's warning to get it stopped before it gets the ascendancy in the church in Thyatira. Unfortunately, it would seem, church history shows eventually it got the ascendancy. It got the ascendancy in that church in Thyatira, and false worship came in. What a situation. What a situation. But let's see how the word closed. Look at verse 25 with me. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Again, the Lord's referring there to, it's symbolic, he's referring to when the saints will judge the world with Christ. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And then he says, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Again, as I was thinking of this last night, and what we've seen since we started this study in the seven churches, what have we seen? Well, we saw in Ephesus, okay in doctrine, but cold in their love for Christ. We saw in Smyrna, a church that went through the fires of persecution, yet rich towards God. We saw in Pergamos, suffering martyrdom, but worldliness had flooded in. And now we see in Thyatira, someone trying to bring in idolatry. You see, men and women, the devil is relentless. And as I was thinking of this last night, and I thought of the whole situation here in Revelation chapter 2, surely that's a picture of the way it'll be until Christ comes. The devil will come against the church in all these different ways. He'll seek to bring in idolatry. He'll seek to bring in worldliness. He'll seek to have the love of the saints grow cold. If that doesn't work, he'll bring in martyrdom. He'll always go relentlessly against the church of Christ. But this is the way I want to close this morning. We've been looking at idolatry. We've been looking at a church here that I come into. And yet, dear people, as we stand here this morning in a church with no idolatry, seeing the end of those that go down the road of idolatry, surely we have got to pray for our fellow country people. Caught up in idolatry, the Lord Jesus Christ describes it as the depths of Satan. We have no hesitation in saying that the Church of Rome, though it claims to be Christ's church, is not Christ's church. It's a synagogue of Satan. And surely we have got to pray for our fellow country people. The Lord said they're looking in their own place through Isaiah. He says here they'll have their part in the second death because they're looking to their idols. And my dear friend, we have got to pray for them. That really struck my heart last night as I was looking over this again. So many in our town, and this morning they'll be before their idols, and they'll be seeking to earn merit with God. And we have got to call on the Lord that he'll come again, and he'll visit us, and he'll bring these dear people from the depths of Satan unto God, and from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God and of grace. These things saith the Son of God, who have his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. As he described the church in Thyatira, that's the way it was. He that have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Learn the lessons well. While there's a church, here's the way the devil will attack it. He did it in the days of Elijah. Jezebel brought in her idols. He did it in Thyatira. He brings in the idolatry, and he'll always try. He'll always do it. But thank God we can look to the Savior, call upon him, keep us true to the book and true to the blood, and may God write his word in our hearts for his name's sake. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we do thank you for thy word that's so instructive to us. And we pray, O God, that you'll take your word this morning and all that's been of thyself, and you'll bless it to every heart. And Lord, we do just lift our hearts heavenward for those in our land that are caught up in idolatry. And we pray for them. We pray, O God, that you'll bring them from darkness into light. We pray, O God, that you'll save them by thy grace. O God, do what you did before in the times of the Reformation. Come and sweep multitudes from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God and of grace. And answer prayer and bless us and go with us to the prayer meeting. Bless the morning worship service. Shut us in with God. Let the blood of the Lamb prevail and glorify thy Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.